Special thanks to the Benedictines of Gower, Missouri, who are going to be letting me use the music at the beginning and the end of these podcasts. Special thanks especially to Mother Cecilia for letting me use those. You'll be hearing those at the beginning and end once I figure out the technology for the whole thing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How and why does God answer our prayers? Well, we can learn a lot from the Collect and the Gospel and the Epistle today in the traditional Latin Mass, 11th Sunday after Pentecost. But even if you're not in that calendar, hopefully you can learn something a little bit from this podcast. Collect today, English says, Almighty everlasting God, who in the abundance of thy kindness art wont to go beyond our merits and our prayers, pour down thy mercy on us. Now, I want you to listen how much this sounds like something Jesus says to St. Faustina in the Divine Mercy Diary, number 294. Jesus said to St. Faustina, quote, Act like a beggar who does not back away when he gets more alms, but offers thanks the more fervently. You too should not back away and say that you are not worthy of receiving greater graces when I give them to you. I know you are unworthy, but rejoice all the more and take as many treasures from my heart as you can carry, for then you will please me more. And I will tell you one more thing. Take these graces not only for yourself, but also for others. That is, encourage the souls with whom you come in contact to trust my infinite mercy. Oh, how I love those souls who have complete confidence in me. I will do everything for them. End quote. It's Diary 294. Now, I know there's some traditional Catholics who are wary of divine mercy because it's new. But really, it's not new. It's always been known. And many of you probably know that 7 days after Easter is called Dominican Albis, literally Sunday in white. But St. Augustine, you may not know this, St. Augustine in the 6th century called this, quote, the summary of the days of mercy, end quote. So you see, this has always been the teaching of the Church, that 7 days after Easter is the fullness of mercy. In fact, St. Augustine called the 8 days of Easter, which, as you know, the Church liturgically considers a single day, the day of the new creation, quote, days of mercy and pardon. That's what St. Augustine calls that time, days of mercy and pardon. So again, he calls the Sunday of this Paschal octave the summary of the days of mercy. So in light of that, even though we're a long past that, we're 11 Sundays after Pentecost, listen to superabundant mercy in that collect again. Almighty everlasting God, who in the abundance of thy kindness are wont to go beyond our merits and our prayers, pour down thy mercy on us. Incline to go beyond our merits. Literally in Latin today, meritus supplicum excedis. Well, the gospel, of course, is a perfect example of this divine mercy because they bring this man to Jesus, this man who cannot hear, he cannot speak, and all they want is for Jesus to lay a hand on him. But Jesus goes beyond that. It says, he took him aside from the crowd privately, and he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. So what we have here is that this person who cannot hear or speak is brought to Jesus, and he goes from completely mute and completely deaf to immediately hearing and talking. So as you may have seen on the front of this podcast, two questions. And the first of these, how does God work? The answer is this, he goes beyond our expectations. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, you know, I humbly propose this. We have to stop acting like divine mercy belongs to, quote, them and divine justice to, quote, us. I really think the whole world would come to the traditional Latin Mass if we'd be humble, not just meek, but humble, truly humble. I mean, all my friends who maybe are would be called, quote, neocons, the only reason they've ever given me for not coming to the traditional Latin Mass is they feel judged there. Now, I know we have to uphold high standards of modesty, of course, but, you know, if we were humble, truly humble, there'd be very, very few reasons not to come to the traditional Latin Mass. I would say none. I have a Navy friend who goes to the traditional Latin Mass. I call him Stu the Glad Tread because he is. He's a humble believer. But I want to get back to the readings today because the best two examples of this are, of course, Peter and Paul, both great sinners who really became the founding apostles. And Paul mentions both of them actually today in the epistle today, saying that Peter, Cephas as he calls him, saw Jesus after the resurrection. Remember, we're in 1 Corinthians 15. And then Paul mentions himself. Quote, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 6 to 9. And so despite this sin, Paul's still chosen. He's truly the chosen vessel, the standard bearer of Christ. So this week I actually had a good long lunch with a husband, a young husband and father who's raising several boys, and he told me he wanted to be the perfect example for them. Now I can tell you, this guy's an amazing dad. He's doing everything he can to get his kids to heaven. And I said to him, you know, Jesus did say be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, but it's equally important that you be vulnerable with your kids if you want them to talk to you about the hard stuff. And I said, I don't mean, you know, make your kids your new confessor or anything like that. But first, to literally be able to verbalize, I'm sorry and I forgive you. And it hit me in saying this. This wasn't just like, you know, liberal new psychology, but really the example of this was St. Peter. Why? Because St. Peter was truly a father to the early church. And in a certain sense, everybody knew his dirty laundry. They knew he denied Jesus. If you read Mark's gospel, that was really brought to Mark by Peter. He was the greatest influence in the gospel of Mark. You see really the most embarrassing lines and the most self-deprecating lines about Peter because it was Peter dictating to Mark right there. So the early Christians, they knew he denied Jesus. They even knew that Peter had impetuous questions after the resurrection. Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Acts 1:6. So to have this vulnerability, and I know I admitted in this lunch that that's an overused term probably among Catholics today, but you have to say to your kids, I'm sorry, and literally, I forgive you. If you can't verbalize those, it doesn't matter if you're traditionalist or neocon or liberal or whatever, you're going to lose your children. And this isn't about being a Disneyland dad or a best friend dad. Just really ask yourself, was Peter really the father to the early church after Jesus' ascension? Did he take on this role as something, you know, towering and distant? Yeah, I mean, surely there was an awe in his presence, but you have to realize there was an accessibility too. And this is where this divine mercy comes in that we just see through the readings today. We have to get over this idea that divine mercy belongs to the heretics and divine justice to the traditionalists. Look at Peter, he was a good father. I'm not saying he was timid. St. Thomas holds that timidity is a vice. But, you know, Peter's also not stupid like most people make him out to be. If you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you'll see that he was, especially in 2 Peter, there's a lot of fire and brimstone. But, and this brings us back to just my encouragement to all fathers out there, Peter was transparent about his weakness, and he was vulnerable enough that any of the early Christians would have been able to come and confess their sins to him, knowing he would be pure mercy. Why? Because he had committed a pretty big bandwidth of sins himself. And again, just to recap, I'm not saying you should confess all your past sins to your kids, but make Peter and Paul your model of your fatherhood, because they were the fathers of the early church, so that your kids, just like the early Christians, could approach you about the hard things. Because nowadays, let's fast forward now to 2016 plus, if your kids think they're going to get condemned by you and say they talk about pornography, well, look, if they're at all embarrassed, they're never going to talk to you again. So yeah, bring them to confession before Holy Communion, of course. But don't act shocked in a prudish way, because a lot of kids out there, they don't even mean to find the things that they're finding out there on the internet. They need a father as accessible and as merciful and as strong as St. Peter was to the early church, as hopefully the priest you bring them to for confession. And just a couple last thoughts. If you want your kids to talk to you about the really hard issues, you have to be fatherly, but you also have to use tribal language, according to Taylor Marshall. He's a father of several who's got an enormous Catholic blog and podcast. He goes to Latin Mass, but he taught in his blog once how he approaches these things. He says things like, oh, the Marshall clan, we don't look at women that way. Or the Marshalls, we don't look at pictures on phones like that. It's a great advice, the tribal approach. You see, Jesus doesn't leave the crowds in fear or in distaste of him. It actually says in today's gospel that he left them in wonder, amplius admirabantur, in the traditional Latin Mass today, 11 Sundays after Pentecost. Transliterated, so much more did they admire him. So your kids should admire you, not just fear you. So anyway, let's sum it up today. Why does God answer our prayers? Because creation is the overflowing of his love. It's an unnecessary overflowing of his love to enjoy him, as St. Thomas Aquinas says. That's the word St. Thomas uses, so that we can enjoy him. He made you with intimate precision, just like he made Peter and Paul and the deaf mute today. And how does God answer our prayers? How does he answer us? He answers this, with a superabundance. As Jesus again said to St. Faustina, quote, "Act like a beggar who does not back away when he gets more alms than he asks for, but offers thanks the more fervently. You too should not back away and say that you're not worthy of receiving greater graces when I give them to you. I know you are unworthy, but rejoice all the more and take as many treasures from my heart as you can carry, for then you will please me more. And I will tell you one more thing. Take these graces not only for yourself, but also for others. That is, encourage the souls with whom you come in contact to trust in my infinite mercy. Oh, how I love those souls who have complete confidence in me. I will do everything for them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen."